Good morning. Morning. Everybody wake up for me now. How's everybody doing today? Great. Some of you are kind of, I don't know, it's a typical pandemic Sunday. Listen, we're glad that you're here today to worship with us, whether you're in our multi-purpose building or whether you're over in the sanctuary or out in the parking lot. We're just tickled to death to have you with us. And yeah, if you remember that, how many of y'all grew up in a church where you had a time of greeting where you shook each other's hand or you could give somebody a hug? How many of y'all grew up like that? Yeah, those were some good times. Now, if you were a little more antisocial, you would kind of hang out in the lobby or the vestibule before, until after all that was over, then you would come in. But nonetheless, it was always something that just was encouraging about that handshake or that hug or just doing life together. Now, I know it's hard for us to do that these days with all of the pandemic rules, but we can at least look at somebody and give them a smile. Give them a wave. Look around the room. Find somebody you know. I want you to wave at two people today. I want you to look at somebody and wave at somebody you know. Then I want you to find somebody that you don't know and give them a pleasant smile and a wave. Even if it's to say, we're glad you're here. You know, give them a little, a little encouragement that way. So it may not be a handshake, it may not be a hug, but it's the next best thing. And I hope and trust that everybody over in the sanctuary, just because I can't see you, still did the same thing and had that opportunity to interact with one another, as well as our online community. Be sure to say hello. The online community is just as much a part of who we are as a church, and we're so glad that you're with us as well. So say hello to each other. Say hello to Dr. Gann. As always, if you have any questions or any concerns or anything, Dr. Gann will be there to answer your questions as we go forward throughout the service. We thank you for being with us. The last several weeks have been challenging based on weather. You know, we've had snow, we've had ice, we've had all kinds of variables along the way, but at least this week the sun is shining and we're glad to be able to be in the house of the Lord to gather around his word. As we do, let's look to him in a word of prayer this morning. Father, we come to you today grateful and thankful for the privilege of being able to get together, Lord, for the common cause of worshiping our Lord and Savior. Father, we know that over this past year, there have been more challenges to us in being able to get together and study your word and to do life together as your children. There have been challenge after challenge after challenge, but Lord, you have remained faithful, and we're so grateful and thankful for all the things that you have done. And Lord, even as one of my brothers said just a few moments ago, Lord, you have given us more opportunities. Things don't look like they used to look, but that doesn't mean that there's not opportunity in the midst. So, Father, help us to capitalize on those opportunities as we go forward. Help us to see your hand and help us, Lord, by all means to be on your page. Now, today, as we have gathered, we have done so to worship your name and to lift praise to you. So we ask that you would help us as we do that. Lord, help us to worship you in song. Lord, help us to worship you as we pray. Help us to worship you as we gather around your word. And Lord, may we prepare our hearts that the Holy Spirit will speak to us loudly and clearly, that we will truly hear from you today and not just mere man. So Lord, help us. Help us to worship you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh Lord, you serve. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me
Thank you, Tammy. If you have your Bible this morning, we're going to be looking at passages out of Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. As I mentioned a moment ago, when we had our opportunity to go to the Lord in prayer, that there have been many, many things that have challenged everything about who we are. They have challenged everything about how we do things. Since this pandemic hit areas of our lives, there's been uncertainty. There have been so many things that have taken us out of what we know as the normal. Most of us really like normalcy, don't we? Now, normalcy is different for each and every one of us. What I might consider to be normal, you may not. But we all have this this way we like to see things done, and we don't really like to change, do we? Yeah, it's so funny because everybody says, well, you're Baptist. I know you don't like to change. How many of you are honest today? You'll say, I don't like change. I like the pattern of things to be like they are because I know what to expect. I know how to act, and I know how to react. Well, the pandemic has really driven you and me crazy, hadn't it? It really had, because it's so hard to be able to try to plan or to organize just about anything. It was really, really bad in the early going. That actually, there have been articles written lately that talk about pandemic frustration with pastors, because for a while, about around Easter of last year, we would make a plan, and literally within an hour, there would be some order that would change what we were planning on doing. And then you sit there and you stomp your feet, and you thought, we had a great plan, now it's just not there. Well, this morning, I want us to be challenged in the Lord's Word about commitment. Now, some of y'all just seized up. It was like a piece of shrink tubing that just got hit by a flame. It's like when we think about commitment, we are becoming so non-committal in our society and in our generation.
with everything that we do. I was reading an article, and this was from a church in Brooklyn. And it really made me stop and pause as I read this. I pray that you will give pause as you hear this paragraph that was in one of its bulletins. And it said this. It said, "This is my church. It is composed of people like me. We make it what it is. I want it to be a church that is a light on the paths of pilgrims, leading them to goodness, truth, and beauty. It will be if I am. It will be friendly if I am. Its pews will be filled if I help to fill them. It will do great work if I work. It will bring other people into its worship and fellowship if I bring them. It will be a church of loyalty and love, of fearlessness and faith, if I, who make it what it is, am filled with these. Therefore, I dedicate myself to the task of being what I want my church to be." Great words, huh? When you think about it. Yes, it's like that old expression that says, what if my church, and I'm just using church for an example because that's what I do, but this is in every area of our lives. What if everybody in our church was just like me? Would we survive? Would we fulfill the Great Commission? Would there be missions? Would there be ministry that would go forward? If everybody was just like me, I pray that each and every one of us today will be able to take pause and answer that question to the Holy Spirit, not the pastor, but to the Holy Spirit. As the Lord says, "I didn't call you to lay down." Folks, now I realize that over this past year, we've been in the middle of a pandemic, but Jesus didn't put his love on hold for any of us. Jesus didn't put what he called us to do on hold for any reason whatsoever. We have got to understand that he didn't create, or he doesn't want to instill within us, a spirit of fear, but he's given us different areas and opportunities and talents and abilities that we can use for him, and he expects us to do that, even in the midst of a pandemic. Now, what that means is that we may have to find different ways to be able to do that. You know, that's if you look at what we've had going on in Central Baptist over the past year, we've had to find different ways. Yeah, Lord called me to preach. I'm going to preach. If it's to the one-eyed monster called a camera, or if it's being able to get here together, this is what God called me to do. Now, I want to challenge you and ask you this morning, have you been doing what God has called you to do over this past year? Have you been actively involved in exercising the areas of talent and ability that he's given you, and not just in your church? I mean, I've often looked at it like this. Some of the greatest church workers I know are the greatest workers that I know, because God's given them a talent and ability. They use it every day on their job, but then what they do is they make sure they use it for his honor and for his glory. So this morning, I want to ask you this simple question. And this is what I want you to go away with today before we get to the scripture, because this is the scripture that reminded me of this. What are you committed to? What are the things that you in your life are committed to in this day and age? Now, commitment is a word that conjures up a lot of meaning in our lives. You see, when we think about commitment, commitment scares people. How many of you all, and I'm not going to say it's you, how many of you all know somebody that the word, when you think about commitment, you know it scares them to death? In whatever circumstance, situation, it could be work, it could be family, it could be whatever. They just don't want to be committed. All right, let me ask you this. How many of you all have ever said to somebody else, "I'll tell you what, why don't we go to dinner?" And what do they usually say? Great. And then you say, "Okay, let me get my calendar out. How about Saturday?" I don't know about Saturday. Maybe it's been you. And really, sometimes what it boils down to is you didn't really want to go, but you said that you were okay with it because you knew that 9 times out of 10, somebody that says that, it never happens, right? So you're like, "Oh, sure, let's do that." You have no intention on going whatsoever. Or maybe somebody's done that to you. But when the calendar comes out, it gets serious, doesn't it? "Oh, I don't know, I might have to feed the hog that night." Or we start coming up with all kinds of excuses as to why we cannot be committed to doing something. In today's age, what happens is we want to try to keep our calendar open in case something better comes up that we want to do. Or maybe a different opportunity. So we don't want to commit to anything. It's become epidemic in our society today. When you look at it, I'm talking about not just the simplest things. I'm talking about even the serious things. Marriage. We don't want to be committed anymore. Don't want that to happen. You got people who, well, we'll just live together instead of getting married. Yes, that's right. If you're watching, I'm old-fashioned. Because that's what the Lord says. You know, marriage and physical intimacy between a couple is perfectly fine according to God's word, but once for one and all, and stay together. See, that's what marriage is really about, commitment. That's what it's about. People say, well, what about love? We'll talk about that later. Are you going to be committed? How many of y'all have ever dealt with somebody in something in your life that was not committed to what they were doing? Did it drive you crazy? Ugh. Because they weren't A, committed at all, but B, they weren't committed to something that they had a position that you needed them to be committed to see their job through for things to happen the way that it should be. Now, I say all that to get us over to the scripture in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. This is not going to be an unfamiliar scripture, but there's a lot that comes around just a couple of words and just a couple of actions. Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 16, says this. It says, "And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee," this was Jesus, "he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.'" Verse 18, "They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in their boat with the hired servants and went after him." Let's pray together. Father, your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Today, Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts, that we will look at your word, that we will see examples, that, Father, we will look into our lives and see what your calling for us is. But, Lord, most of all, I pray that you will help us to, first of all, see you, but then, Lord, to see that we're committed to you no matter what. Bless our time. Use this, your messenger. And so we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is, as I mentioned a moment ago, a biblical passage that is not unfamiliar to us. We've seen it. We've heard it. But to me, there's always something that jumps out about this particular passage that makes me think about all of the concept behind what's going on. We see Jesus, he's walking out there along the way. It says he comes up to two fellows. Verse 17, Jesus says to them, "Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men." Now that doesn't surprise me at all. Jesus is looking for a few good men. But what really gets me, and you have to think about everything that took place and what must have gone through their mind at the time, is verse 18. It says, "They immediately left their nets and followed him." When did they do this? Immediately. That would be like you being at your job or on the workplace and somebody coming by saying, "Hey, I tell you what, quit your job, grab your stuff, let's go." Would you do it? Now, I know you're sitting there, you know, trying to non-spiritualize things. We sit back and we say, "Well, you know what, I have to give a 2 weeks notice and I have to do this and I have to do that." I'm not telling anybody to be irresponsible in what they do by any stretch of the imagination. But the one thing that we see was that their mindset was that immediately they went to follow Jesus. They had a job. They had people that were counting on them to do the fishing. And it didn't just happen once. As we go on, it says, and when he'd gone a little further, verse 19, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending nets. They had come in from fishing. They're trying to get everything tied up and ready to go for the next day, get the nets ready. And immediately, verse 20, called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Have you ever thought about what Zebedee might have thought about that whole situation? Hey, come follow me. I'm going to make you to become a fisher of men. Okay. Son, where are you going? You going to be back when it comes time for us to go fishing again? What are you doing? I want you to think for a moment about the fact that for each and every one of us, God is calling us to follow him. He is not calling us to follow him as some sort of secondary thing along with our plan. He is calling us to follow him so that we can be on his plan. He doesn't come in there and say, if it's convenient for you and your job and your family, you come follow me. He doesn't say that. He says, you come and follow me. Some people know what this is like. Some people know the sacrifice. Some people know what it's like to just completely pick up and move on. For me, I can still remember when the Lord called me to ministry, the opportunities that he had given me, and I wasn't in ministry at the time. I had graduated from college. I was looking for where the Lord wanted me to serve. In the meantime, he gave me a position as a police officer, and I had gotten comfortable in that position. I really had. I was like, yeah, I'd get up, I'd go to work, I'd do my thing. Life was moving on until that moment. And I can still remember it. It was one of the biggest God moments in my life, that as I left the police station after having arrested someone, and the radio traffic is always really, really busy. I mean, it was just, you almost had to wait your turn to get a spot to call in. And it was just like the radio got turned off. Click. And it was like weird quiet. Do y'all know what I'm saying? When I say weird quiet, have y'all ever experienced weird quiet? Now, that's a made-up term, but you know what? Sometimes quiet can get loud, can't it? And it got weird quiet as I drove down the street. I was waiting to see where they were going to send me. I had gotten a spot. I had cleared up. I'm waiting on this next call because we run, literally at times, would run 80 calls behind. And there was zero radio traffic. It was weird quiet. I could still remember the street, 16th Street. I turned right on it. And the Lord said to me, now, don't think I'm getting weird. I'm not talking about audibly, but I'm talking about he spoke to my heart. And he said, you know, he said, this is not what I called you to do. And I said, yes, Lord, I know this is not what you called me to do. But I don't know many people that want a 25-year-old single youth pastor in their church. I drove up the hill. And the presence of the Lord was so overwhelming that I had to stop. I mean, it was that crazy for me. So I pulled onto a street and pulled into a parking lot. And it happened to be a church parking lot, of all things. And the Lord said, this is not what I called you to do. Are you willing to fulfill the promise that you made to me when you were 15 years old? And I said, then I started talking audibly. I said, yes, Lord, I'll be more than happy to do that. But I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to, I don't know how all this works. The Lord said, I didn't ask you that. Just ask you if you are going to fulfill the promise that you made to me when you were 15 years old. I said, oh, well, yeah. He said, okay. Click. 391. And then I was like doing that full body shake. I was like, what just happened? Within the next 2 days, a guy that I went to school with said, hey, there's a church down the road from mine in North Carolina that's looking for a youth pastor. Are you interested in it? And I could just see God going. I said, well, yeah. He said, I'm coming through there this coming weekend. Have your resume. I'll pick it up. I'll meet up with you. We did. I'd never really heard of Greensboro, North Carolina. I had just bought a place to live. I had made the first payment on it. Number one, I was engaged. My wife-to-be was still in school. I knew zero people in Greensboro, North Carolina. But when I had a chance to, as the process went to interview with them, I walked out and the Lord said, this is where you're going to be. And I went. I went back. I resigned. And people thought I was crazy. Now, why did I say all that? Because I told the Lord I was willing to follow him no matter what, that I would be committed to him. And you know what that commitment meant? That commitment meant leaving a job that was stable, the first real job I had ever had, the one that I had worked hard for. That meant leaving a home that I had just made the first payment on. That meant leaving a fiance that I got to see every day behind and going to a place where I knew zero people to serve the Lord. God said, are you ready to do this? I said, let's do it. Was it tough? Yeah, it wasn't easy. But you know what? I know a whole lot more people in Greensboro, North Carolina than I used to. And the Lord opened doors along the way to get me where I am today. But I had to be willing to follow him. I had to be committed to him. The first thing I did as a youth pastor, literally, I unloaded my stuff in an apartment. I slept on the mattress on the floor and left the next day on a youth activity going to Ridgecrest. And I still remember my commander telling me, he said this. He said, you know what? He said, you've got a year. You can walk back in this office, and he said, I'll give you all your credentials back. We'll put you back to work, and no problem at all. And the Lord said, that's a safety net. But you have to perform without a safety net. You have to perform with trust in me. 1 year to the date later, we were back on that youth activity at that same particular place, and that was when the safety net came down. No longer could I walk back in if it didn't work out. And say, I want my job back. You know what I did? I didn't cry about it. I celebrated that with the young people that I had at that particular moment. I said, I'm not looking back. I'm going to remain committed no matter what. I am going to, as the disciples did in Mark chapter 1, I am going to follow him no matter what. And my question for us today is, are we going to follow him? To follow him takes commitment. Remember what commitment does? Commitment scares us. Commitment disturbs us. Commitment challenges us. Commitment shapes us. Commitment uses us. Commitment teaches us. And commitment inspires us to be true followers of Jesus Christ no matter what. Can you do that? Are you doing that? Or have we curled up in a corner somewhere? Now, folks, don't get me wrong. I've said this many, many times. Yes, the pandemic is very, very real. But where is the balance between doing what God has called and asked us to do in our lives? I'm not talking about just on Sunday at church. I'm talking about every day of our lives. If Satan can get us still, I want you to think about what's happened over the past year. I want you to think about the number of people who probably will not ever be back in a fellowship of a church once again because they've gotten comfortable being outside of that. Let me tell you what Satan's done. Satan has handed you some real feel goods over this past year, hadn't he? Honestly, I've heard people say, you know what, I really enjoy watching you on my TV with my cup of coffee from my recliner in my pajamas. But folks, you're missing it. That's not what church is about. Church is about doing life together as brothers and sisters. It's about relying upon one another. It's about growing from one another. And let me make you a promise. You cannot do that from your recliner in the living room with a cup of coffee. Go up and hug your computer monitor or your cell phone. It don't hug back. I like ones that hug back. How about you? Well, we're not supposed to do that right now. Come on, folks. Listen, I'm not saying the pandemic's not real. I'm not saying that people don't get sick from that. But what I am saying is this. God never intended it for it to stop us from doing what he called us to do, and he never intended it to stop the church from going forward. And right now, most churches are 50% of what they were before the pandemic. Half the people. Has God decided he's going to call his church out to find out who the real committed parties really are? Maybe. If Jesus walked in and said, come on, follow me at your job, would you leave? If he walked in, he said, come on, follow me, where are we going? We're Timbuktu, who knows? Would you be willing to follow him? To leave the castles that we have built here on this earth, to take a chance on what God's got going. And I can promise you this, 100% of the time, God's plan will be better. 100%, it's a guarantee. We're talking about commitment. What are we committed to? You see, these disciples were committed to a person, the person of Jesus Christ. They were not committed to stuff. They weren't committed to ways of life. They weren't committed to housing or or transportation or finances or anything. That's not what they were committed to. They were committed to Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to challenge you and ask you, what are you committed to? What is the big overriding thing you are committed to at this particular moment? Now, how you can say whatever you want to say, but let me ensure you of this. Whatever you say, your life's going to back that up. Where do you spend your time? What do you incorporate? What do you think is worth time, effort, energy, and finances? That, my friend, is what you're committed to. What is it that the Bible tells us? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is important? Have you turned your life over to Christ to manage? Have you turned your life over so that you can have an encounter with him? Have you turned your life over to Christ that you might be challenged? You see, why is it we don't like to be challenged anymore, do we? We don't like for someone to challenge us because that means we're going to have to put forth more effort. Let me promise you that Jesus is going to challenge you in your walk with him. That's the only way that you grow. You know, if you think about a weightlifter in the gym, it doesn't do any good to pick up 100 pounds and just say, oh, check this out. I can do it one arm, I can do it two arms. But you know what happens? It's when you start to add more weight to it. And it begins to become a challenge that the muscles start to actually rip. Now, this sounds a little bit gross, but you know, that's how muscles get bigger. They actually tear and heal and tear and heal as they're getting bigger when you stress them. And if you're going to get something, I've said it, if you're going to get strong, you got to pick up something heavy. If you really want to walk with Jesus in a way that is in depth in the way he's speaking to you, it's going to take something on your behalf other than just attendance. You're going to have to open your Bible on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, not just Sunday. And I'll throw Saturday in there as well. Lost track of my days a week. Every day, what will you be committed to? Are you going to be committed to Jesus? Are you going to accept the challenges that are going to come forth? Think about the disciples. Think about the challenges that they went through. When they went and followed Jesus, how easy would it have been for them in the midst of that journey to look back and say, you know what? I've had enough of this. I'm going back to fishing. Not too many months ago, we were talking about the back to Egypt syndrome that Israel had. Why is it that we want to retreat to where it's comfortable all the time when God has greater and larger challenges for us? And folks, you will never get there until you take up the challenge. It is time to stop being mediocre in our walk with him. It is time for us to move forward. It is time to take on the challenges. It is time. Because you know what Jesus did today? So at some place in your life, something, whether it's your job, whether it's your family, whatever it is, there is some way that Jesus is telling you right now, pick up your stuff and follow me. I want to lead you away from this into something else. Now, it may be something bad he's trying to lead you away from, to lead you into the ways of righteousness for his name's sake. It also could be something that he's trying to lead you away from that is you think is very, very good in your life. But if he's going to lead you away from something good, he's going to give you something better. We have a hard time fathoming that, don't we? Because we get scared and our commitment begins to waver. The disciples were committed to a person. Today I'm asking you, are you committed to the person of Jesus Christ? Not just in word. Not that just simply, I prayed with the preacher that day and hey, I've punched my card, I'm in. No, that's not what salvation's about. You can fill out all the cards you want to. Salvation's not even about baptism. Baptism's an act of obedience following salvation. There's a whole lot of people going to hell wet. That's what's happening with that, because they've equated baptism to equaling salvation, and that's not true. It's a personal walk. It's not just something you do. It's a relationship that you have. And you know what's really been kind of interesting for me to see? And I don't know if you've experienced this throughout the pandemic. Have you had a chance to see somebody that you hadn't seen in a long time? And all of a sudden they sound like that little mouse Fievel. And you just talk and talk and talk and talk. How many of y'all have experienced that? People are hungry for fellowship. We are designed to do life together. Right? I've known people that you couldn't get 2 and 3 words out of that all of a sudden I've spent an hour and a half with them and they hadn't stopped yet. It's kind of like, man, I tell you what, I have really enjoyed this. Can we pick this up, you know, tomorrow or next week? Because I got a roll. And then almost like folly out to the car. Oh, can we see each other again? And they don't even realize they're doing it. They're just hungry for fellowship. Folks, Jesus wants our fellowship. And he has designed us to do life together, to fellowship together, to learn from one another. I'm challenging you today. Don't let Satan keep you in the recliner when he wants you to be part of the body anymore. I'm not saying there's not serious and legitimate concerns and complaints. Deal with the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't get mad at the messenger, okay? What is the Lord saying to you? I know there are people who have legitimate needs and reasons why they still can't get out in public, but I also know there's a whole bunch of them that don't, and they're riding it as an excuse, and it's time to call it what it is, an excuse. Oh, guess I'm going to lose my Sundays again to go back to church. Come on. Think about what Jesus has done for you. See, they were not only committed to a person, they were committed to a life of fellowship. We were just talking about that. A life of fellowship to serve. We're just kind of dead in the water in these days. Satan's just laughing his way off. Oh, well, they're not serving anymore like they should. We bought into a lot of things. God never intended us to stop serving, even in a pandemic. We might have to find different ways to do it, but it doesn't mean that we stop. We continue to do what God has called us to do. Are you doing that right now? With the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given you to serve him, are you using them? Because I can tell you that a lot of folks I've talked with said, you know, I haven't been serving the Lord and with the talents and gifts he's given me for almost a year now. It's time to break that. And you say, well, I don't know what to do. Find out what to do. Seek him. He'll show you. He didn't call us to simply sit. A life of fellowship. So we can experience what it is. Folks, I don't want you to just know God. I want you to experience him. I've said it over and over. That's what really solidified the thing with Thomas. Although we're so hard on him, although we call him doubting Thomas, Thomas said, I don't want to take your word for it and your word for it and your word for it. I want to know for myself. I want to experience it for myself. And after Thomas had the chance to touch the nail-scarred hands of Jesus and knew it was him, never ever again did Thomas ever look back in his ministry and died a martyr for Jesus. You know why some people are having trouble with their spiritual walk today? Let me tell you why. They never have experienced God. They've never walked through the valley of the shadow of death and had God snatch them out. They've never had to trust him for where the next meal's going to come from. They've never had to have faith in him on a moment-by-moment basis. Have you? The disciples were committed to a life of fellowship that brought laughter as well as sorrow. Yeah, those disciples, I often thought about what it must have been like to have hung out with them. I'm sure they laughed. I'm sure that they had a good time. I think about our mission trips. We laugh a lot, don't we, Tony? I mean, we'll laugh until we're hurt. People will turn color and turn blue, and we'll have a good time. But you know what? We've also been there and been able to cry together to see what is taking place, the hurts of people, even those of our own team. We've wept over while we've been there, and it built a fellowship that nobody could ever describe. You just have to experience it, don't you, Stan? You just got to know what it's like, because God shows up. That's the kind of fellowship he wants. Folks, you can't laugh together and cry together from the sofa. We need to do life together as God's people. So they were committed to a person, they were committed to the fellowship, and they were also committed to a life of adventure. This is the great part. Yeah, it talks about how they cast their nets out into the seas. What are the nets that we need to cast as Christian people? What are the nets that we need to cast as a church? We need to cast the net of our talents that God has so richly blessed us with. We need to cast the net of our time. And have you ever noticed that time in our day and age is more valuable than money? The people would sit back and say, oh, I don't know about that. Try to get time out of somebody. Try to see if you can get them to give you some time. Listen, Jesus wants your time. He wants to have priority in your time, not what's left over, not, well, if I have time, I'll do this. No. How about you do what Jesus wants you to do, and I promise you that you'll have plenty of time to do the other things, because he'll make it that way. How's your time? How's your talent? And how about your treasure? Remember what I said a moment ago, simply because the word said it? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is your treasure invested into things that are of the Lord? Are you a tither? I mean, you know, I think we just have to say it outright. People sit back all the time and say, well, let's just dance around this issue. Folks, God has an edict for us to tithe, to give back to him a small portion of all the things that he has richly blessed us with. I have never been in the position of some of the people that I've seen before, and I continue to see on a daily basis, where they are praying from day to day where their next meal is going to come from. They truly understand the term, give us this day our daily bread. They're not worried about tomorrow. They're having to live for today, and they have zero to put in their mouth to nourish their bodies. They have children that have zero there. And I have heard testimony after testimony after testimony how God continues to show up and take care of those needs. But you know why that happens? Because they trust him by faith. They trust him with the things that they can't even begin to see. The treasures. You've been a part of God saying, you know what? I have invested in these people right here. I have blessed them mightily. Now I want you to take what's mine and use it to bless somebody else. Can we do that, or are we just downright stingy? Remember that word? We used that when we was kids. Mommy, he won't share them pixie sticks with me. He's just stingy. Wants it all for yourself. Folks, let me tell you something. What you got in your bank account, God has given you, and it belongs to him. What you drive is God's. It belongs to him. You are just a steward, a caretaker. So are you being a good one? Are you being a faithful steward? I don't know. We'll see. You know, we've been almost 3 weeks where we hadn't had people here. Our budget's taking a hit. Will we be faithful to give God back what is his? I can't believe some of y'all just turned me off. David's probably keeping track over there. See how many people just went offline. He's talking about money. Shut him down. Well, we have to, because it says Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's very, very telling. Are we casting our talents? Are we casting our time? Are we using and casting the treasures that God has given us to make a difference for the kingdom of heaven? Casting our church net into the sea. You know, yeah, it's interesting about the sea. The sea can provide resources for a lifetime, can it? If we just fish from it. The Bible gives us the direction for meditating on the important things, and our focus needs to be on that. Man, we are so distracted. How many of y'all are easily distracted? You'll be honest enough to say it. I am. You know, all of a sudden you're looking at something, squirrel! Yeah, I've used this illustration because it's happened every single time to me that if we've had a situation where we've had to have a cancellation at church and they run it across the news, they run it across the little banner there, and I'll be sitting to make sure that ours is actually up there, I will watch for it, okay? So then, and I'll even, because they do it in alphabetical order, right? A's, B's, and I'll be watching TV and like, oh, okay, they're coming, they're in the B's. So I'll start watching that little ticker across the bottom. And then something will happen on the TV where I'll be like, oh, that looks like a great program. And then when I go back and look at the banner, they're into the D's. How many of y'all, you know what I'm talking about? Or that particular moment in time that you need to see, the phone will ring, something will happen that will distract us. Folks, let me tell you, Satan is trying to distract God's people. And it is time for us to say, Satan, you need to go sit down, because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for the talents God's given me, I'm going to utilize them for Him. And I am going to be a part of a fellowship of believers that is going to come together and love one another. It is time for church across this world to stop with the silly bickering and fussing and get on board and love each other like we're supposed to love each other and get out there and do for Jesus what He's wanting us to do. Hallelujah. Knock it off. It doesn't matter all the petty, trivial things that are catching us and hanging us up. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But what does the Word say? But against principalities and rulers of darkness in those places that the gospel needs to be preached. Stop it. It is time for us to step up and follow Jesus. Come on, I'll make you fishers of men. I don't know how to fish. Jesus, you know what Jesus said? I will make you fishers of men. I will teach you. I will prepare the fishing hole. You know what? When you stop and look at it in that regard, it's easy. Last year, our Cuba team, most of them had never made a door-to-door visit in their life, got turned loose in a foreign country in an illegal place to go door-to-door to tell people about Jesus. How about that? I guarantee you, if you'd ask them, some of them were scared. You know what? You know what else is really funny about it? They were leading people to Jesus. The preacher went out there. I got this. This is what I do for. I didn't lead anyone to Jesus in the houses. They did. But you know what Jesus did do? He gave me the opportunity to lead some folks to Him preaching a revival. That was cool. Those guys, never once, a lot of them had ever made a door-to-door visit. And you know what they said? I love what Tony said. Tony said, "This, nobody's forcing you. You don't have to do this if you don't want to." Every last one of them said, "I will go." You know what they said? "Jesus, I'll follow you." When Jesus said, "Come with me, I'll make you to be fishers of men," they said, "Let's go." And they caught fish. They caught some good ones too. Good ones that are still serving Him to this day. We've got to be careful that we don't become so influenced by the world. I'm going to ask Lynn if she'd come on up, but I want to read an excerpt of a fictional story. Now remember, this is a fictional story, obviously, but it drives home a point about what we immerse ourselves into in our day and age. It says this fictional story that a fella told. He told about a group of scientists that decided to develop a fish that could live outside of water. Says they chose a few red herring and bred and crossbred them, and they did every scientific experiment they could to make this fish be what they wanted it to be. Finally, they produced a fish that could live outside of the pond. But the project director wasn't satisfied with the results. He had a gut feeling that though the fish had learned to live outside of the water, it had a deep, dark secret. A desire for water. Re-educate it, he said. Change its very character and desires. Back to work they went again, retraining even the strongest reflexes. The result was that they created a fish that would rather die than get wet. Even humidity filled this new fish with fear. The proud director took the fish out on tour. Quite accidentally, according to official reports, the fish fell into the lake. It sank to the bottom, eyes and gills clamped shut, afraid to move lest it become wetter. The fish refused to breathe until instincts took over. So the fish drew a tentative gillful. Its eyes bulged. It breathed again and flicked a fin. After a few moments, it began to wiggle with delight and darted off to be with the other fish. The fish had discovered water. And with that same wonder, men and women, conditioned by a world that rejects God, discovers Him. For in Him we live and move and have our being. Have you breathed in today? Folks, being a good Christian is not about just going to church and doing all these things. It's about that relationship. And here's what I know. I know that today, Jesus is marching through this room and He's saying, follow me. Follow me. Will you follow me? Will you follow me? He's passing through the sanctuary over there. And you know what He's saying? He's saying, follow me. He's going out in the parking lots and He's going, follow me. He just walked through your living room and He said, follow me. The question is, will you follow Him? Will you leave behind the things that we think are so important? Will we discover Him? The world has trained us to hate anything spiritual, like that fish. You're laying on the bottom, scared to death right now. Listen, breathe. Breathe. Let Him fill you with all that He is, and He will make you to be what He has called you to be and what He desires for you to be. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Listen, maybe the Lord just woke you up today from your spiritual slumber, and you know it is time to get back in the fight. It is time to get back in the game. And listen, if that's you and He's saying, follow me, then just simply bow your head right where you are and say, Lord Jesus, today I'm coming. I'm following you. I'm going to get busy, not for my sake, but for yours. Use me, Father. Bring me back into fellowship with you. And Lord, we look forward to the adventures we'll have together. I'm going fishing in Jesus' name. You know, maybe you're here today and the call of His life in follow me wasn't just to follow me and doing what you're supposed to be doing and using your talents and abilities and being the type of Christian He wanted you. Maybe the follow me today is Him saying, follow me to salvation through the shed blood of my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary's cross had all the sins of the world, past, present, and future, nailed to it. They were covered by the blood of the Lamb. He was buried in that borrowed tomb, and on the third day he arose that you and I might have eternal life. Have you trusted him? I didn't ask you if you filled out a card. I didn't ask you if you prayed with the preacher. I didn't ask you how much money you give to the church. I didn't ask you how many Sunday school perfect attendance stars you have. I didn't ask you how many simple little things that you did to be used by the hands of the Father. Listen, God can even use heathen people to accomplish his will, and does. I'm asking you if you know him. Are you my brother? Are you my sister? Because see, we have the same father, don't we, Lynn? That's my sister. Jimmy's my brother. Tony's my brother. I have a big family. How many of y'all grew up in a big family? Sometimes it was tough, wasn't it? You never bickered and argued, did you, Jamie? Not one time with your sisters, not once. Y'all just perfect. Never. We fuss a little bit, but you know what we are? We're family. It's time to stop cutting each other off. It's time to start acting like God's family. It's time to follow him. Listen, are you part of my family? Hey, we like big family, don't we, Lynn? The more the merrier. There's plenty of room at the Father's table. There's plenty of room in the Father's mansion. There's a bedroom right down the hall for you. There's a place at the table that's got your name on it with all the best of everything as a child of the living God. Are you my family? Jesus is inviting you today. Will you receive his invitation to become a part of the family, to be saved, born again, whatever you want to call it? If that's you, and he passed through your life right now, and he's calling you, he's saying, follow me. If you don't know him, just simply bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, today I hear you. I want to be a part of the family. Thank you for welcoming me with open arms, for providing. Father, I love you. Help me to live in a way that will please you. And I look forward to all of eternity in heaven with you and my new family. And I'm asking this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you did that, I can make you a promise. You're part of the family. If you're watching online, if you accepted Christ, please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We want to know who our family members are. We're not going to bother you. We just want to celebrate with you. Listen, today maybe you realize that you weren't walking the way you should have and you turned that back over to the Lord. We all have little tiffs in the family, but it is time to start following him. I like that commercial. I think the mama goes in there and asks the kids what they want, and they all start naming something different. And I like that one little girl that says, I want a bucket of chicken. Y'all know which one I'm talking about? You're never going to satisfy all the people all the time. But it sure is great being family, loving each other, doing life together. Let's let the pettiness go, and let's not let Satan win. Keep us repressed from following Jesus where he wants us to. I believe with all my heart the times we live in truly are a test to God's people. Are we going to pass the test? I didn't say go out and do goofy things, but follow where he wants you to be. It's time. It's time to step up. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers. In just a moment, I'm going to have a closing prayer. I want to remind folks, we do have our offering boxes back there on the table in the multipurpose building. The sanctuary will be the offering plates up front. We do have the opportunity for online giving at www.oakridgecbc.org. There'll be a giving tab up there. I believe Dr. Gant probably has listed that for you there, attached a link. For those of our online viewers, if you want to do that. And listen, if you're viewing our services today, you don't have a church home, we encourage you to support us that we could get the gospel out. If you have a church home, you need to support it, not only with your tithe and offering, but with your presence and your skills and talents and abilities. It's time to get up. It's time to get moving. Because I believe this can be a really, really big year. Because you know why? Only the faithful are going to remain. That doesn't sound nice. It doesn't sound like what a church should say, but it's the truth. Only the strong are going to survive this. Where will you be? Don't forget, listen, we want to pray for Jimmy today. For the sake of our fact that we're online, I won't give a last name. Most of you know who I'm talking about. They are working to actually take him off of the ventilator today. To try to see how he is going to do. If he does have to go back on it, they're probably going to do it by way of a trach instead of the intubation. So we want to pray that Jimmy has a really good day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I know Jimmy wants to rejoice and be glad in it, but he needs our prayers. He's one of our brothers that's hurting. It is time for us to step up and pray and intercede for him, that today will be a great, great day for him. That'll be able to get off that ventilator, that the healing process will be able to continue to go forward. Pray for Georgie as she goes through the time of having to experience something that's completely out of her hands. There's nothing she can do, but we know the one who can. Amen? God can. We're going to pray for him really, really hard today, and I hope to be able to bring you a great report by sometime, hopefully by the end of today. Who knows? We'll go see him tomorrow. Don't forget all the people that we need to pray for. A lot of prayer needs in our church right now and in and around our families. And I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but we'll figure it later. Awana tonight, youth is 5:30, senior high youth 5:30. The rest of everybody 6 o'clock p.m. right here. We'll look forward to seeing you there. Exposing kids to the gospel. It's the greatest thing, man, just to see them running around. There's so much more that can be said, but no more that needs to be said today. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we dismiss during this time. I just want to take just a moment. I'm going to come back up and dismiss us. But I want you to hear Lynn as she sings our closing benediction.
We turn our eyes, we turn our eyes. See the dark.
Father, as we come to you and turn our eyes upon you, what a blessed view that is. Lord, we take our eyes off of our circumstances and situations and we put them upon you. And Lord, as we do, as the song says, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Father, I pray that you will bless the offering as we leave today, the gift and the giver. Lord, help us to be good stewards, to proclaim your word. And Lord, no matter where we go, what we say, what we do, we represent you. Bless each and every family. Father, may you bless the giver of the gift, because you've promised that in your word. May we see some incredible things. Lord, may you touch those who need healing today. And Lord, may you help us as we go forward to be all you want us to be as individuals as well as a church. And Lord, we look forward to the time when we will come back together around your word as a family to draw closer to you. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you on. Oh, by the way, David was right. I meant to mention this. We do have a 4 o'clock p.m. virtual leadership team meeting. So we will look forward to seeing our leadership team through the computer at 4 o'clock today. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you online Wednesday and back here next Sunday. I love that song.